Or we could share a smile and put Red Nose Day posters in every single window of the house.
Quit the joking around, Ramesh. Fundraising is serious, man.
Right. Sorry.
Call on your funny self for Red Nose Day. Find out how you can help. Search BBC Red Nose Day.
Now, the return of Just a Minute in the first of 10 programmes hosted by guests including Stephen Fry, Sue Perkins and Nish Kumar. Tonight, Paul Merton is in the hosting seat.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Paul Merton, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but from around the world. Also to welcome the four talented and delightful people who are playing Just a Minute this week. On my right, Giles Brandreth and Sheila Hancock, and on my left, Tony Hawkes and Pippa Evans. Will you please welcome all four of them? Now, I will ask them to speak on a subject that I give them and to try to do this without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And we start with you, Giles. I don't know if this is somebody you've personally met, but the subject matter for you is Dolly Parton. You have 60 seconds to talk about Dolly Parton and your time starts now.
Dolly Parton. Now, where do I begin? I have to tell you that my dear father gave me my first Dolly Parton dolly back in 1967. He bought it on a visit to Nashville, Tennessee, returned home with this dolly and said, here she is, Miss Parton.
And Pippa, you have challenged?
Repetition of Dolly.
It's on the card, Dolly Parton.
Oh, I don't know the rules of this game.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid it is Dolly Parton is one of the two words on the card.
But does it count, Paul, if we're talking about the name Dolly and then the thing that is a dolly? Those are two different things.
Yeah, they're the same word, aren't they?
Okay, fine. Yeah, right. Well, you carry on, Giles.
I'm afraid. So, yes, so what age you were when your father bought you a dolly? I'm not quite sure, Giles. You carry on with the subject of Dolly Parton and you have 43 seconds left and your time starts now.
I was in my early 20s when I acquired this Dolly Parton dolly, and I have to say it did me an awful lot of good because it made me move away from Barbie and indeed from Cindy. I had had a huge...
Sheila, you've challenged?
I don't think we should let him go on.
No.
No, it's revealing too much, isn't it?
It's too much. You mean in the show, totally Cindy, stopping completely from this point on?
No, Cindy onwards? And all that. I mean, he is a bit disturbed, yeah. I know, because I've shared a boat with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Did he bring Barbie and Cindy with him on the boat?
You don't need Barbie and Cindy when you've got Sheila. Oh.
Well, that may be just about the creepiest thing you'll hear on Radio 4 all evening. So, Sheila, I think he was going a little bit away from Dolly Parton there, so I give you the subject. So you have 32 seconds left on Dolly Parton and your time starts now.
I wouldn't be 10 to be a...
Pippa, you've challenged?
Hesitation and confusion.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think there was a little bit, so I think a little bit of hesitation there. So I'll give you the subject, you get a point for the correct challenge, and you have the subject of Dolly Parton, and you have 29 seconds starting now.
For my honeymoon, I went to Dollywood in Pigeon Forge. I am a massive Dolly Parton fan. I have been there twice because it is such a great theme park. As part...
Sheila, you've challenged?
Repetition. She's been there twice.
Yes, she's been there twice.
Oh.
You get a point for that.
I think that's a good challenge from Sheila, so she gets a bonus point, but the subject does stick with Pippa because technically you hadn't made an error in the rules of Just a Minute, so you still have 17 seconds left on the subject of Dolly Parton starting now.
My favourite thing about Dolly Parton is the way that...
Giles, you've challenged?
She had repeated park twice. She mentioned that she went to the park, and the best thing about the park was...
So you are quite right, Giles. You have 13 seconds to continue your rather sordid stories on the subject of Dolly Parton, and your time starts now.
Dolly Parton is petite and gorgeous. She's the fourth of 12 children. She also is the godmother of...
And Sheila, you've challenged.
12 children,
yes,
other than 12 children.
Yes, yes.
Grammatically, Giles, that should offend you.
Embarrassing,
yes.
Really.
Oh, I see. You're going to mock my speech impediment.
Yeah. It's always difficult around Christmas time for the 12 days of Christmas for Giles. So, Sheila, you are quite right. That was a slight slip of the tongue. You have 8 seconds on the subject of Dolly Parton, and your time starts now.
She's a marvellous woman. She started up a thing in Rotherham for children who are getting behind with reading.
And, Tony, you've challenged?
Was that a hesitation?
Yes, it was.
There was a little bit in Rotherham, yes. There was a slight hesitation, I think. So, Tony, you've got in very cleverly with just 3 seconds left to go. So if you say her name very slowly, that'll probably get you there. You have the subject of Dolly Parton, 3 seconds, and your time starts now.
I will always love you, Paul, and I...
You gain an extra point there for finishing the subject. Pippa Evans, this is your subject to start with now. You have the subject of do-it-yourself. I don't know if you're an expert in do-it-yourself or not, but we'll soon find out, and your 60 seconds starts now.
The one phrase that sums up the downfall of the human race is do-it-yourself. This motto requires one to imagine the skills of a carpenter will be instilled in oneself via YouTube and transform basic abilities such as recognising a piece of wood into the ability...
Sheila, you've challenged?
She hesitated.
Yes, there was a hesitation. There was an earth. Sheila, you have a correct challenge and a time left. You have 43 seconds on the subject of do-it-yourself starting now.
I'm a great believer in do-it-yourself and not relying on other people. I've got a couple of lesbian friends and they assure me that it is a trait common to that brand. Finish it off, because that sounds so sexist.
Yes, well, before I let you finish it off, I should let Giles come in with his challenge. Giles,
yes, there was
challenge?
A hesitation.
Yes.
Explain what you were going to say, and then...
Well, I was just going to tell a story that I have two friends, and if I have any bolts that need doing or screws that need pushing, if you'll pardon the phrase, then I phone them up, and she swears that all lesbians are good at do-it-yourself. And they are marvellous, these two. Her and her wife have completely whitened my floor for me, and I couldn't do it myself. So you'll probably have to edit all this out.
I'm desperate to say nothing. Okay, so Giles, I think you had a correct challenge, so I give you the subject of do it yourself, and you have 33 seconds starting now.
Lord Finchley tried to mend the electric light, it struck him dead, and serve him right. It is the business of the wealthy man to give employment to the artisan. I am totally against do it yourself. It causes so many accidents when ignorant people in the home take out the hammer, try and do a bit of plumbing, electric shocks, fuses burst, thumbs get bashed.
And, Tony, you've challenged?
Was there a repetition of electric?
No.
In the first poem, was there not electric?
No.
Oh. I don't think so.
He'd deny it, even if it was. Don't trust him, Tony.
to be honest, I'm still thinking about the two lesbians. Okay, Giles, I don't think you did repeat, so you've still got the subject of do-it-yourself, and you have 13 seconds left.
The most dreaded letters of all the alphabet are...
And Sheila's challenge.
Most dreaded? Did you say most dreaded letters of the alphabet?
Dreaded.
No. Did you say dreaded before, though? Did you repeat dreaded?
Repetition of dreaded.
Yes, well done, Tony. Well done. I wondered who'd be first to spot that. Well done, Tony. You have 11 seconds left on do-it-yourself, starting now.
I recently purchased a brand-new do-it-yourself self-isolation kit, and it works tremendously well. You put it up on the wall using a hammer and what...
Tony, you were speaking as the whistle went, so you gain an extra point. Now, our next subject is Sheila Hancock, and this is one subject to very much close to all our hearts here. And the subject matter for you, Sheila, is the day I first met Nicholas.
Oh.
And you have 60 seconds on that subject, and your time starts now.
Well, the day I first met Nicholas was a bit of a disaster. It was years ago for the pilot for Just a Minute, and I thought it was no audience, just an ordinary broadcast, and I came looking like hell in terrible jeans and a ghastly coat. And, of course, Nicholas was his usual immaculate, cravatted, blazered, glamorous bloke, and he looked at me as though I was a worm, but he still was amazingly polite and lovely, as he always was. But after that, we had lots of friendship, and it was great.
And Giles, you've challenged?
Well, after that lovely evocation of the first time, that Sheila met Nicholas. She immediately said that after that we had lots of, and then went on to subsequent encounters, which strictly isn't what you asked us to talk about.
Yes, it's a bit harsh, but Giles, I would like to hear you talking on the subject as well, as I'm sure many people would. So you have the subject of the day I first met Nicholas with 25 seconds to go, Giles, and your time starts now.
The day I first met Nicholas Parsons was back in 1969. It was in the run-up to Christmas, and a Yuletide holiday festival had been given by the wonderful Fanny Craddock, a chef of the time, a curious mixture, she, between, I don't know, Mary Berry and Jeremy Clarkson. Anyway, the party was a memorable one, because at it, giving the cabaret was Nicholas Parsons, so elegantly attired, wearing a blazer and a
jumper. Yes, well done, Giles, you finished that off for us. And I think you both brilliantly evoked the spirit of the great man there.
What about you, Paul? What about the first time?
First time I met Nicholas, it was on remand, actually. We were sharing a cell. I did a TV show with him that was a short-running show called Scruples that was being filmed up in Liverpool, and I met him in 1988, and I said to him how much I admired Just a Minute, and the following year I ended up being on it. The greatest professional joy in my career is to be part of this show, and he's greatly missed by us all, of course.
Indeed.
Let's move on to our next subject now, and the next subject is going to be Tony Hawks. And Tony, your subject is going to pot, so you can interpret that whichever way you'd like, and your time, 60 seconds, starts now.
The best way to get elected, it seems to me, is to pretend that the country is going to pot, and then make up a meaningless slogan, something like Make America Great Again, or Take Back Control, Visit Barnard Castle, whatever you for you in their hordes, when in fact the country isn't going to pot at all. What is really happening is something else, which I haven't got time to go into here. Now, I remember 1985 quite well. The table was all ready for Dennis...
Pippa, you've challenged?
There was a hesitation there as he went into the for Dennis.
Yes, he conjured up the era of 1985, but then didn't seem to remember much about it. So...
That was the year he went to pot.
So, good challenge there, Pippa. You have 22 seconds on the subject of going to pot, and your time starts now.
My parents grew up in the 1960s, and I'm pretty sure they spent most of it going to pot. Although these days, they now go to pot more in the allotment where they grow tomatoes and...
Sheila, you've jumped in, you've challenged.
Oh, dear. I'll let her get it back. It's not fair. It was hesitation.
It was hesitation.
It was terrible hesitation, Sheila. You should take it.
If you're going to let her get the subject back, you've got 8 seconds in which to do that. So your time on going to pot starts now.
Tomatoes are one of my favourite things.
Yeah. And Pippa, you've challenged?
Oh, no. I was doing it because I thought she'd repeated tomatoes. No. Sorry. I was saying tomatoes, thinking that she could buzz me for repeat.
Yeah,
it was her.
You goaded her into challenge so you could get an extra point, Sheila. We know.
Have you not grasped the intricacies of this game, considering you've been playing it for some time?
I don't know. I'm trying to be helpful, and I'm just being going to pot. I mean, I am.
So, did you challenge?
I did, but there was a slight hesitation.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so on the basis of that, Pippa, you have 5 seconds left on the subject of going to pot, and your time starts now.
I'll be honest, Paul. I feel like this round is going to pot, as none of us seem able to talk about going.
And well done, you speaking as the whistle went. Well done. An extra point there. And Sheila, you are still in the lead, and Tony's just behind you. Giles is just behind Tony, and Pippa is in a magnificent fourth place. So the next subject is for you, Giles. It's the butterfly effects. If you can tell us something about the butterfly effect in 60 seconds, and your time starts now.
The butterfly effect could be something to do with a scientific phenomenon whereby if a butterfly's wings flap somewhere across the world, extraordinary things occur. But for me, the butterfly effect takes back to when I appeared in...
And Tony, you've challenged?
Did he say Kate back in?
I think he did. There was a slight misspeak there. So Tony, you have got a correct challenge. You have the subject of the butterfly effect and you have 46 seconds starting now.
In early February 2011, I farted. Later that month, there was an earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand. Surely the two things were linked. This is an example.
Sheila, thankfully, has challenged.
That is a bit far-fetched, isn't it?
A bit crude, Tuna.
Did you say fart-fetched or far-fetched? Yes, I think we have to class that as deviation, Tony, but, you know, you take a lot on yourself there. I think perhaps there may be other effects may have been something to do with
well,
it.
Well, you know, but how can we be sure?
Was the window open?
No, that's what caused all the vibrations that were felt so heavily in the other hemisphere.
Yes, it's the people who live next door I feel sorry for. OK, so, Sheila, you have the subject of the butterfly effect and you have 33 seconds starting now.
I don't know whether people still do it, but there used to be a thing called a butterfly kiss. You got very close to somebody and then you flickered your lashes against their cheek or whatever part of their face or body you...
Tony, you've challenged.
Well, if there isn't one, you bloody well need one these days.
What?
A butterfly kiss.
Oh, well, you can't get that close these days.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Depends how long your eyelashes are.
Hoping for a huge response in recognition.
So,
sorry, it was a silly challenge that wasn't appreciated by the audience.
No. It was quite...
This is an illustration of the butterfly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gradually, people are laughing.
Yes, it's good. It was kind of light relief from the comedy we've been pursuing for the last half an hour. So, Sheila, I think that was an incorrect challenge, to put it politely. You have 21 seconds left on the butterfly effect, starting now.
Well, the effect of butterflies upon me is enormous. They are ravishingly beautiful. And in these dark times, to see a scarlet wimple... Oh! Butterflies at all.
Giles, you have a challenge. I don't really know what it
hesitation
is.
As she got to the scarlet wimple and wondered what she was talking about.
What? Yes. There is a scarlet something.
I know.
You might be thinking of the scarlet pimpernel, I'm not sure. we don't think there's a butterfly called the scarlet wimple. So, Giles, you have the correct challenge for deviation and you have a glorious 10 seconds left on the subject of the butterfly effect starting now.
My appearance as Madame Butterfly in Puccini's great opera was considered quite remarkable. People said when he came on, the butterfly effect was amazing. The way he was dressed, his wings.
Well done, Giles. You.
The mind boggles.
You get a point for speaking as the whistle went on the butterfly effect. And so, Pippa, it is your turn now to start the next round. The subject is a clementine. And you can take that whichever way you like. And you have 60 seconds to talk on the subject of a clementine starting now.
Clementines used to be a sign of hope and prosperity when pulled from the Christmas stocking. Yet these days, a child can show no greater disappointment than receiving a clementine in the bottom of their pile...
And the bottom of something, and Giles jumped in.
There was a hesitation as she got to the bottom of whatever it was.
Yes, there was.
The correct challenge, hesitation. So you have the subject of a clementine and 47 seconds left, starting now.
A clementine, but which one should I choose? Could it be the heroine of the song, or indeed Clementine Churchill, the wife of the great man Winston? But my clementine, well, you will recall when we talked once about our early loves, I mentioned my fondness for Camilla, the Duchess of Cornwall. For whom?
Sheila, you've challenged?
What makes you think we would remember that? It's amazing arrogance. You will remember when I talk about that. No, we don't. We don't remember everything that falls from your lips.
In fact, to be honest, we try to forget most of it. No, I think that was... Well, I think it was a very good challenge, Sheila. I'm not sure it was strictly within the rules of just...
No, but you have to check him every now and then.
Yes, absolutely. So I give you an extra point for a very amusing challenge, but, Giles, you do keep the subject of a clementine and you have 29 seconds and your time starts now.
Clementine Carruthers was the girl I had in mind, and my goodness, she was gorgeous. She was only young, but she was horsey, and I love...
And, Your arch nemesis Sheila has buzzed in again, Sheila.
There's an awful lot of she's. She was this, she was that.
Because she's Clementine. She's my Clementine. I've been asked to talk about A Clementine. I'm talking about A Clementine, and my God, what
you
a girl.
You can't keep saying she, though.
No, I think it's you're getting to the point where we might need to throw a bucket of water over you, Giles. So. Sheila, on this occasion, I will say that was a correct challenge. You have 21 seconds left on a Clementine starting now.
I remember Christmas when I was a child. We had these things called Clementines. They were a sort of tangerine and very exotic for a kid from my background. I loved them. Talking about Clementine Churchill, she was a remarkable woman, except she did destroy a marvellous portrait done by Graham Sutherland, which I can't quite forgive her for. Oh dear, talk about deviation.
So Sheila, you gain a point for speaking as the whistle went, and I think you're in the lead now by some way. And to be completely accurate about it, you have a number of points, and Tony's got a few less than you, and Pippa has a few less than Tony, and Giles, I've not really bothered what you've said. So. I've got no idea where you are at the moment, but I can say with confidence that Sheila is in the lead. So, Sheila, you have the next subject to start. The subject is hardy annuals.
Oh.
It sounds like you're looking forward to it. And you have 60 seconds and your time starts now.
Hardy annuals are plants that you put in the ground in the autumn and they last until the spring, but they only live for about a year. Lupins, cornflowers, daisies, poppies all come under that category, as do that lovely couple, Hardy and...
Tony, you've challenged?
I think there was a slight hesitation in there.
I'm just winding down.
I think there was a little winding down, I was expecting the Scarlet Wimple to make an appearance. I think there was a slight hesitation there, so I give you that. You have 38 seconds starting now.
When I was little, I was very impressed by how hardy my annuals were. Dandy and Beano. And they were very crisp at the cover, which is important if you're going to have a hardy annual, because you do bash them around when you're a kid. Sometimes you throw them at your brother in anger. It's weak. What happened?
Giles, you challenged?
The recollection of the anger caused him to hesitate.
Yes, he did.
Humble and stumble.
He was obviously hitting on some deep trauma there. So, yes, you're quite right, Giles. That is a correct challenge. You have 18 seconds on the subject of hardy annuals, and your time starts now.
When I was but a lad, the hardy annuals I had featured the Hardy Boys, characters created in America in the 1920s. Joe and Frank, those were the two of them, and they produced an annual from the year 1929. But subsequently, my hardy annuals have been books by the great Thomas Hardy, including, oh good, the Mayor of Castlewood.
You get an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and we're now entering the final round.
No.
So, yes, this is the final round. It's always a good sign when it goes by so quickly. So we have the final round here, and it's going to be Tony Hawks who's going to start us off, see if he can speak for the 60 seconds. The subject matter, Tony, is barking up the wrong tree, and your time starts now.
Every 4 years, I put £100 on England to win the World Cup. This could be an example of barking up the wrong tree, I suppose. Also, maybe expecting Donald Trump to speak something truthful could be another. Boris Johnson having a plan. These are the kind of things.
And Giles is challenged.
The controller of Radio 4 has asked me to intervene at this point to say that it is not true that on all Radio 4 panel shows, the emphasis is on left-wing bias. This just doesn't happen. We don't make old jokes about Donald Trump and tired jokes about Boris Johnson. We allow the equality of saying. But I actually, on both of those points, he's probably got one.
I'm not sure there was a challenge in there, but if there was, I didn't hear it. So, Tony, you still have the subject. You have 37 seconds on the subject of barking up the wrong tree, and your time starts now.
I have trained my dog Coco, a delightful half...
Sheila, you challenged?
Coco.
Yes, repetition of Co. Yes,
repetition of Co.
Surely if I say the word Coco, that's not repetition of co, is it?
I know, but we've heard a lot from you recently.
All right.
So Sheila should be... I've given Sheila a chance to come in. And Sheila, you have 32 seconds on the subject of barking up the wrong tree.
I have got both a cat and a dog. And the cat... Oh, no, I've repeated the cat. And I haven't got a cat or a dog anyway.
Well, you can keep them in the same place as your Scarlet Wimple. Tony, you've challenged.
Yes, there was a definitely repetition of cat in there.
There was definitely a repetition of cat, so you'll be thrilled to hear that you've got the subject back, and you've only got 27 seconds left to tell us more about barking up the wrong tree, starting now.
My cat Fido barks up the wrong tree whenever I put her out in the garden. I have instructed her...
Giles, you've challenged?
In the history of the animal kingdom, there has never been a cat that barked. Even though it was named Fido, it will not have been a barking pussy. Deviation. Against nature, against the animal kingdom. I got David Attenborough on speed dial. I can prove this to you.
Yes, I think you're quite right. Your desperation is making the point quite well. That was a deviation, I suppose. And it gives you the subject of barking up the wrong tree, and you have 18 seconds on that subject, starting now.
The dog that I have that barks up the wrong tree is also called Fido, spelt P-H-Y-D-A-U-X, because it is a French poodle. And in fact, when it does its barking...
And Pippa, you've challenged.
Yeah, I'm challenging him on the grounds of pretension.
Well... If I was going to allow that challenge, you wouldn't get a word in edgeways, but I think I'll accept what you're saying. I think it's about time. So I think we've not heard from you on this, so why not? You have 8 seconds on the subject, Pippa, of barking up the wrong tree, and your time starts now.
When one cannot talk to a dog, how can one possibly know whether the dog is actually...
And somebody has challenged Tony.
Yeah, repetition of dog.
I can't believe it. Tony, I've only spoken for 5 seconds.
You only had another 3 seconds left. I don't think anything that dramatic was going to happen.
It was a big story, Tony.
OK.
Ironically, the man who gave us Coco is now challenged on the repetition of dog. So he has... 3 seconds left, barking up the wrong tree. Your time starts now.
Would you believe it, said Dennis, but the trees in this garden are falling.
So well done, Tony. You were speaking as the whistle went, which means you get an extra point at the end, and that was the final round. So it's just a moment now to give you the scores. Fourth place we have Pippa, very solid fourth place. Giles is just ahead of her, but we have joint winners this week in Tony and Sheila. So I announce that these two are our winners this week. So I'm afraid that's where we have to leave you this week. Although on behalf of our team, Giles Brand, Sheila Hancock, Tony Hawkes and Pippa Evans, we'd like to thank Ian Messiter, who devised the show, and to Victoria Lloyd, who produced the show, and to Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so beautifully. This is Paul Merton saying thanks for listening, and join us again when we take to the airwaves and play Just a Minute. Goodbye.
Just a Minute is a BBC Studios production. Next week, Sue Perkins will be in the hosting seat.
On BBC Radio 4,
The Skewer.
Look, I just made that name up.
The Skewer.
I'm trying to scare you.
The Skewer.
I like the name.
The news chopped and channeled.
Where does it end?
From the mind of John Holmes.
Homeschooling.
Was it a coincidence?
I'm talking about homeschooling.
Was it murder?
What?
Just until a crisis is over.
Mummy and Daddy are very cross.
I can't do it again.
That's the river. Satirical river of sound.
Italian-made toilet brush costs 8